Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
This is the Yahoo Sports NBA podcast. Hosted by Chris Mannix. From interviews.
Let's bring in John Wall.
He's Reggie Miller.
Bring in Eric Spoelstra.
To the latest NBA news.
To insights you won't get anywhere else.
Rioting is bad. You shouldn't riot.
Past episodes of the podcast can be downloaded in the iTunes Store and Google Play.
Why wouldn't you go back?
Subscribe and leave a rating or comment. Here he is.
Speaking of guys putting their foot in their mouth.
Chris Mannix.
Yes.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Yahoo Sports NBA podcast. Got a great show for you this week. Feels like I always say we have a great show, but we really do have a great show this week. Brad Stevens, the head coach of the Boston Celtics, he drops by the podcast, and we cover all the bases here. We go back to Game 7, talk about LeBron leaving the conference, all the players Boston has coming back and where they all fit into starting spots. We get into all the praise he got last season as being one of the best coaches in the NBA. All that and a lot more with Celtics coach Brad Stevens. Quick housekeeping note, if you like this podcast, very easy way you can support it. Head over to Apple Podcasts, post a comment, leave a rating. It's simple, it's easy, it's free. It takes you like 10 seconds, and it is the best way to make sure we keep doing this podcast week after week. That's it. All right, let's go. All right, joining me this week on the podcast, Celtics coach Brad Stevens. Brad, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
So, do you have a process on autopsying the end of a season? Are you the kind of guy? I remember we were discussing off the air Tom Thibodeau, and Tibbs told me when he was let go in Chicago, he actually went back and watched every single Bulls game film ever that he ever coached in his time off there in a condensed period. Do you have a process for autopsying a season?
Yeah, we stay engaged in that season, for a couple of weeks after it. So go back and look at things that went well, things we need to get better at, you know, the 10,000 foot view, and then also, you know, some obvious things that we want to improve, we know going into the summer. And then take a step back and take a deep breath, get ready for summer league, put our put little things in for summer league that we want to try. But not necessarily overly committed to, but see how it all works. And I thought Jay Larinaga did a great job with our summer league team, and as usual. And then now, as you have all your guys signed and you know who's on your roster and everything else, you really get into, you know, the deep planning of the offensive, defensive, practice plans, progression of things, all that stuff.
I know you got the question right after Game 7 about, you know, kind of appreciating what this team did all year long. It's got to be tough to have that kind of perspective in that moment. Mm-hmm. But as you got some separation, you know, losing 2 All-Stars and still doing what you did, I mean, could you take some pride, the team take some pride in what they accomplished?
Yeah, I think as long as you're in this, though, you're just focused on what's next. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think you ever sit back and just, you know, think of it in terms of like a college season where you have a banquet at the end and, you know, you hand out, you know, awards and all that stuff. And we never did that at Butler either. But like, I just think you move on. And, I thought that this team, we believed in each other. And I think we were all disappointed with how it ended. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that that was the beauty of that team was it didn't really buy into anybody else's thoughts. And it just kind of, you know, we all decided that we were going to compete and compete for as long as we could. And unfortunately, our time ran out, you know, a little bit short of where we wanted it to.
Are you the kind of guy that goes back and watches a game seven? You know, I know you played in games or been in game sevens before, but a conference finals game seven and, you know, dissect to the minutiae of what could have done.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, and I usually try to do that like right afterwards. Mm-hmm. So whether it's a day later, whether it's a couple days later, you know, just to be able to, it's fresh in your mind to look at it, to say what we did well, what we didn't do well, again, what we need to do as we head into the off season. And then be to move on, you know, and I think that that's one of the things that's really important too. And, you know, as you go back and look at our playoffs as a whole, we had some great moments, but you know, we had things all year that if we don't improve and get better, then, you know, it'll be hard to take a next step.
When you look back at game seven, is there something you say like, man, I wish we did this a little differently, or is it LeBron's great and he does some great things sometimes?
Well, you know, he was great. There's no question about it. But, you know, we held him to 87 as a team. So we were really defending. And in a lot of that series, we were really defending, especially at home. You know, the two things that stand out, obviously, are the, you know, we didn't convert in game seven and our lack of winning on the road all the way through the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Those two things really stood out, and something that I think, you know, we've spent a lot of time thinking about, talking about within these walls, and, you know, I think we'll all improve from the experience, but there's no question we're itching to get started because, you know, as good as that run was, it was a bad taste in our mouth at the very end.
When you get started again for the first time in 4 years, LeBron won't be in the conference. What was your reaction when he did what he did and going to LA?
You know, I think one of the things about free agency is it's you know, every person's got to choose what's best for them. And, you know, so I don't really, you know, over dissect it or overreact to it. He was tremendous in his time in the Eastern Conference, both Cleveland, then Miami, then back in Cleveland. The 8 years in a row to the finals is one of the most remarkable feats, I think, in sports. And, you know, he did an unbelievable job, you know, in each of those years adjusting to all the different things that were thrown at him. That I'm sure will continue in L.A., and but at the same time, you know, we know that it's not necessarily about who's not here in our conference. It's about how we play. And we have to improve. We know where we have to improve. And then we have to maintain, especially on the defensive end, where we left off.
Is it, when you say we know where we have to improve, how much of it is individuals improving? Because you're going into next season with two players that were not part of your group that, well, Kyrie is part for half the season, but what they do is going to be something you layer onto it. Is it just individual improvement?
I think the biggest thing is, like, if you look at our just statistically, you know, we were not good enough offensively to compare ourselves to championship teams of the past. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just as a whole. Defensively, you know, we were pretty good, and especially when you compare us to the rest of the league. And when we got into the playoffs, we did a lot of good things. And, again, I think the challenge with that is, and I've been on teams that have been at the top level the year before and then really tailed off at the start of the next season. The challenge is coming back and saying we're committed to doing all of these little details again, and there will be no steps that will be skipped. We're not trying to be playing in April on September 26th. We're trying to be better on September 27th. Mm-hmm. And just being able to take that day-by-day approach, enjoy the journey, have fun with it, but get better through it. And then offensively, we just have to. And I think this will be a combination of things. Obviously, we're adding two very, very good offensive players that will be able to mask some things anyways. But at the same time, I just think the year together we will benefit from more than anything. I do think that the continuity on offense is a good thing. And that was probably the one area where we felt our – you know, only bringing four guys back more than I would have thought. You know, I thought we were going to be a little ahead offensively and a little bit behind defensively, and it actually turned out to be the reverse.
Were you happy with how the guys that played took the loss? I mean, do you look for that, about how they respond in the immediate aftermath to a loss like that in Game 7?
Well, I mean, it was when you're winning at that level, you don't expect to be done. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to live it in college and then now live it in the pros. And I think that you just, there's a bitter taste to that. And I think everybody felt that. And I thought, you know, Baines articulated it really well the next day when we had a team meeting where he said, you know, basically this was that loss reminded him of his time in San Antonio when they got beat by Miami. And you know, it served as motivation into the next summer. We'll see how much we took out of it. Mm-hmm. But you could tell everybody was stung by it. And, you know, hopefully it will be a subtle reminder as we move forward.
You bring Baines back and you talked about the continuity and you've got that right now. But with this team and this general manager, did you go into off seasons kind of bracing yourself for anything really that could happen?
Well, yeah, like last year at this time, if we would have been doing this interview, mm-hmm. and we may have done it.
I think we did it, and we talked about Isaiah and his health.
And so, like, you know, I'm planning and for our staff meetings, and then our staff is planning for, you know, things that we will do as a team moving forward. And then when your team dramatically changes in a small in one moment, then I think that that's just something that you have to adjust on the fly with. I don't anticipate those things, but I didn't last year either. And I just think that's one of the things about generally you have to be on your toes in professional sports. I do think that, you know, obviously we've had so much change in the last 5 years that, you know, we were really prioritizing the ability to maintain some continuity here this year, especially with Kyrie and Gordon coming back from injury and them not getting a chance to play in the playoffs last year.
By the way, did you know that Isaiah reached out to the team at the time? He spoke about this publicly last couple of weeks. Did you know he had reached out about coming back, and what was your reaction?
I love Isaiah. So I knew. And, you know, I think that, you know, he's one of the hardest workers, one of the most dedicated pros that I've been around. And, you know, like everyone else, I would love to see him have an unbelievable year. And for him to reach out, I think just, first of all, he meant a ton to Boston. Mm-hmm. He meant a ton to all of us, especially those of us that got a chance to work with him every single day and be around him. And, you know, I think that he really had fun here. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy that he's back with Denver. I'm happy that he's with Mike Malone. I think that they've got a great relationship. Mike's a great coach. And, you know, hopeful that he has had an incredible year.
Did it rise to the level with you about, okay, how could I work this guy in? Or did it ever get to that point in your mind?
I don't want to talk about those discussions just because any of that stuff is between Danny and the player that he's talking to. And mm-hmm. so it's, you know, obviously I say that because I know Isaiah mentioned it, but, you know, I can't hold Isaiah in any higher regard. He's a special guy.
Gordon does a pretty good job of keeping everybody updated on his blog and Players Tribune stuff, so we've got a good sense of where he's at in a big picture thing. But as we sit here in early August, where is he? I mean, and where do you see him as we approach training camp?
Yeah, we had one of our trainers out there last week said he looks great. Danny was out there for a couple of days as well, so they say that he's looking great, progressing well, and should be good to go. You know, I think he and Kyrie will both be fully cleared by the time training camp starts and probably well before. And so, you know, obviously you'll probably have some things to manage mm-hmm. as you move forward through the early part of the season, just because of the amount of work that you go through in training camp to get ready for a long season. But at the same time, I think, you know, they're both in really good spirits and health-wise really good.
Are you anticipating kind of easing him back into the mix? I mean, we haven't seen him play in 5-on-5 yet. And as we sit here in early August, are you guessing that he will have to be kind of eased back into playing again?
Well, I think there's a degree of patience anytime you're coming back from a significant injury where you miss significant time. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about the healing of the injury. It's about the, you know, getting back on the court in a 5-on-5 scenario. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think a lot of guys, you know, probably more so than ever, probably don't play as much 5-on-5 mm-hmm. in the off season. I think some guys get to that point maybe in August and early September and then maybe come back to their teams and start, you know, organizing some open gyms. But there's a little bit of that for everybody, but certainly for a guy that has miss a significant amount of time, a whole season with an injury.
Did you see Uncle Drew?
I watched Uncle Drew. We rented out a movie theater for our summer league team. And so we all went together. First of all, I haven't been to a movie in so long that I didn't realize they had like the comfortable seats where you could lay down, put your feet up, and order food.
I've slept through two movies doing that.
So like the whole movie experience has changed since I last went to a movie, which is an indictment on me for not going to movies. But I thought it was really good. And I thought Kyrie did a great job. I thought it was fun. My kids love it. So like it's really it was fun to be that close to an actor.
Those seats are dangerous, though. They are that you get too comfortable in them, and all of a sudden you're just dozing off.
No question. I could see where you could just go and watch a couple of movies, get a good dinner, a dessert, some popcorn. It looks like a great night.
Feel well rested afterwards. You know, he's been getting all these free agency questions as he approaches that year. Does that affect you at all? I mean, is he? I mean, you're probably not going to get the questions as much, but wherever he goes, he's probably going to get it in a lot of different places. I mean, how do you approach that as far as dealing with him and how he handles it?
I'm not going to talk to him about it at all. You know, I think, one of the things that I want to do is just, you know, give everything I can to all these guys while they're here. And hopefully the people that are here recognize that it's a really good environment with a high upside for a long time. And, some place that'll be committed to them and committed to their overall game and enhancement and off the court and everything else. And so there's no real discussion to be had. It's more we can't wait to get to work, and we get a chance to work together every day. And then, you know, when those time comes for any free agent to look over what their options are, you hope that you have separated yourself with the everyday relationship and the work there. And but as far as like talking about it and everything else, you know, he's been so good to me, and you know, everybody around here likes him so much that we don't even think twice about it, to be real candid.
I'll get back to Brad Stevens in just a minute, but first I have to tell my listeners about today's sponsor. Support for the Yahoo Sports NBA podcast with Chris Mannix comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. Let's talk about buying a home. It can be one of the most important purchases you'll ever make, but today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher payments, which can turn a great experience into an anxious one. That's why Quicken Loans created their exclusive power buying process. Here's how it works. They check your income, assets, and credit to give you a verified approval. This gives you the strength of a cash buyer, making your offer more attractive to sellers. Once verified, you qualify for their exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock your interest rate up for 90 days while you shop for your new home. Then, once you've found the one, if rates have gone up, your rate stays the same. But if rates have gone down, you get to keep that new lower rate. Either way, you win. It's the kind of thinking you'd expect from America's largest mortgage lender. To get started, go over to rocketmortgage.com/Mannix. That's rocketmortgage.com/Mannix. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply. Based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records, equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org number 3030. Now, back to my conversation with Celtics coach Brad Stevens.
The consensus on the outside is that, you know, with all these guys coming back, somebody's going to have to take a step back. Somebody has to go to the bench and come off it. Is that fair? Is there a conversation at some point that you have to have with somebody about, you know, look, this is kind of, which is numbers game. You can't start six guys. Is that a conversation you'll have to have with somebody?
Yeah, and I think one of the things, no question, right? I mean, you can only play five at once, but I think one of the things is I think all of our guys realize that we have a really good thing going. That nothing's guaranteed. We still have to come, put in the right amount of work, focus on the details. As I said, skip no steps, get better in every which way. But at the same time, if we do that, then we have a team, you know, that should be a tough out on any given night. And I think part of being on a team is all being understanding that there's nothing like experiencing winning together. And, you know, I think that that's one of the things that we'll continue to shoot for here, and that, you know, hopefully we'll be able to take the next step by making sure that we get better on September 26th. But for me, it's more about we have a unique thing, and I think we all have to recognize that. You know, the starting thing, the finishing thing, and everything else, we're going to have different lineups out there, and everybody's going to get an opportunity and lots of opportunities to make an impact.
It's strangely important to a lot of players we see with Carmelo and other guys across the league right now. I mean, do you think it'll take work to convince somebody that you know, it's not that big a deal that we will be mixing and matching these lineups? I mean,
well, we'll just do it like we've always done it. You know, I don't – Marcus Smart's come off the bench for 2 years, and I've never considered Marcus Smart to be a – non-starter. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think that you know, we're fortunate enough on our team that we've got, you know, 8, 9, maybe 10 guys that are starters. Mm-hmm. And so we'll figure that out as the time comes. And I do think that our guys have a recognition overall about, like, that's not what it's about. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about trying to be the best that we can be collectively. If we all do what we do to the best of our ability, it'll benefit everybody individually. But you only get so many chances to be part of a special group. Mm. And, you know, we're pretty fortunate to be in this position. We need to take advantage of it.
Along those lines, do you come to training camp, especially with those wing positions, thinking it's an open competition for a starting spot?
Well, I think the biggest thing is you always say, okay, it's about how you play. But you also think about how it all fits together and how groups are going to play together and everything else. The training camp's not very long. So I think you have to have an idea about how you're going to play, especially early on in the season. But those things get changed really quickly. They get changed through performance, through injuries. Last year, I mean, if you would have told me who our starting lineup was in the playoffs, I would have said, you know, that was not what we would have thought going into the season. And those guys stepped up and played great. And it's a reason why I think we go into this season with the idea – not with guys that whose name get called at the start of the game, but rather than, you know, we've got 9 or 10 starters.
When you play well, people get credit. Jalen got credit. Jason got credit. Terry Rozier got credit when he stepped up. You got a lot of credit, too, during the year, and you were talked about a lot as among the elite coach in the league. Was that uncomfortable at all for you, you know, getting that in a lot of different places, especially in the playoffs? It seemed like we were hearing that a lot.
No, it's really uncomfortable, and it's one of those things that I guess is just part of it, but you don't pay attention to a lot when you're in the middle of it, and I think, you know, you especially appreciate and realize all the efforts of everybody around you that have put all of us in this position. You know, we all, especially in a coaching or support staff role, have a role to play, mm-hmm. And some get talked about more than others, just like a team, right? I mean, some... You know, Kyrie's going to get the majority of the discussion because he puts the ball in the basket unlike anybody else, and he has, you know, an uncanny ability with his creativity to make plays that just other people can't make. But that doesn't mean that the other guys don't add just as much value to winning at the end of the day by doing their smaller roles well or maybe under-discussed roles well. And I think that those are things that, and I know Kyrie would be the first to say, those are things that the players really appreciate. And I don't look at our roles as any different in coaching or anybody else that works in the Celtics organization. And so for one person to get a lot of attention, especially on the coaching side, you know, doesn't make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I think that we're lucky to get to do what we do.
I kind of mushroomed after Dwayne Casey got all those votes from the coaches. Dwayne Casey had a great year. Like he
should have been coach of the year.
Yeah. I mean, that was, he had a terrific year. Kyrie said recently that one of the reasons he's excited for this season was that coming out of last year's training camp, they felt they had a great training camp. They felt that they were coming in and as a legit contender, and everything kind of came together. Did you get that same feeling coming out of last year's training camp?
You know, again, defensively, on day two, it was like, man, we're good. Mm-hmm. Like, we could be a really good defense, which I did not anticipate. I thought that we had some strides to make, especially with a younger team, mm-hmm. but our length and athleticism stood out. And then our anchors in Baines and Horford stood out with their ability to kind of direct everybody and be elite defenders, at the rim. It's really, really, kind of separated us early, I thought. And then offensively, at the end of the exhibition season, our last half in Charlotte, we were really good. Mm-hmm. And then you could see that carry over through the next week as we were getting ready for our season opener. Mm-hmm. So I can see why Kyrie would say that. I think we all felt that sense. That being said, when you're in the midst of coaching especially, I think, you're so worried about the next game. You're not thinking about what could be 82 games from then. You're just focused on, you know, hopefully getting better with all those things. But you could tell we had a good group that fit well together.
You obviously like Jason Tatum to draft him, but I mean, a kid that is a teenager to step into that role and play as well as he did. Was there a point during the early stage of the season where you said to yourself, like, all right, we might have something really, really good here, that he really surprised you?
I think that there were probably a lot of points, but I can't pinpoint any of them as we're talking. It was just really obvious really early that not only is he super skilled, he's very talented, he's long, but he's really smart, and he's really mature as far as his demeanor, being able to move on to what's next. And so all of those things added on to the fact that he's got a great work ethic. He's an easy guy to like, he just has it. And so I guess by the end of the year, you're not surprised by anything with him until you review the year and you realize that he's 20. And so, but he's a good one. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot is, you know, he's so young in his career, but he's already experienced so much that building on it and continuing to maintain that focus effort towards improvement is the challenge that lies ahead for him. And we've seen nothing this summer to think that he hasn't totally embraced that. I mean, he's working, and, you know, I just saw him today. He looks great. He worked out here at our facility, and, you know, as he gets ready for a trip to China with Nike, you know, he's put in a lot of work to get better.
He's talked about adding weight to that frame. I'm guessing that's a priority for you too, with how big he gets. Is it a number of pounds he puts on, certain strength things that he does? I mean, what's that physically for? What's the next level physically for him?
You know, I think first of all, being able to play lower longer requires a significant deal of core strength for any player, but certainly younger players with size. And so that's really been our emphasis, is continuing to focus on the core strength of things. All the exercises that he does, all the things that he's tested on, I got to tell you, I don't really even pay attention to it. I know that our strength and training staff do such a great job with it, and they are, you know, they're so encouraged by his work, but not surprised because we all expected him to be a worker.
Is his ability to finish through people kind of the next phase in offensive development? Because he can score over you, he can go around you, he can do a lot of different things. Just being able to kind of physically bulldoze past guys, is that the next level of offense for him?
Yeah, I think that being able to get into the paint, make the right read and get into the paint, or finish through contact, certainly. You know, I hesitate to ever say to go through somebody, because sometimes the right play in this league is not to go through them. It's to kick it out and make the next right play. As a team, I think that's something that we have to improve on this year. But, you know, that's the beauty of Jason, is he's a good player, but he's got so many areas that you could see if they can just get a little bit better. But he's working on them. You know, he's able to manage that and still be one of the best players on the court through a lot of those playoff games.
Did you consult with Kobe on what he was working with him on the last couple of weeks?
No, but I think it's great that, first of all, Kobe is so interested and invested in the younger generation. Secondly, I love it when players choose to go and seek out somebody that has had unbelievable success in the past. I love it when coaches do it. You know, I'm a big believer in you've got to strive to be the best version of yourself. You've got to continuously grow. You're continuously learning. You have to stretch yourself. And if players take the initiative to do that, that shows a lot, because it shows that, you know, they want to improve. And so it's a special moment for a kid when he gets to meet his childhood idol. But it's also a great testament to his desire to get better.
How do you try to grow in an off season? You said coaches you want to see.
I do a lot, as far as trying to pick the brains of people I really respect, in and out of the industry. I try to spend a lot of time with, you know, with, again, different people and books that I feel will help me grow as an individual in the off season and help better prepare to play my role during the season. But every year, you know, we do a few group get-togethers, but also I'll seek out individuals, and you're just trying to take anything you can to be a little bit better, because you know if you're not improving, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Was there any book you read particular this summer that stands out?
Yeah, I hate to say one because I'm reading them all. I'm trying to better myself overall. Mm-hmm. So I do try to read as much as possible. But I will say this: I'm probably a classic example of ADD, and mm-hmm. so if I'm not really engaged by the first 100 pages, I'm probably going to move on to what's next.
Yeah, I can relate to that. Lastly, the last few years, you've been kind of an up and coming team, young guys. You know, already people are talking about this team as the favorite in the East. Already people are talking about, a chance to win a championship right away. I know you go into every season, wanting to win that very last game, but, going into a year with expectations will be new for this team. Is there anything you do differently or say differently to your guys about, the expectations, the outside expectations that are going to be out there?
I think the beautiful part of just kind of keeping a day-to-day mindset, trying to improve every day, is that no matter what your expectations are, whether you are at the beginning of a building stage or whether you have a team like we do that's coming back and bringing a lot of guys back that's trying to reach a next step, or you're Golden State and you've won 3 out of the last 4 championships, if you're focused on the day and getting better that day, then everything else takes care of itself. You have a chance to be the best version of yourself, and our challenge is to be the best version of ourselves. So that starts with that mindset. Everybody knows in Boston, when you play in Boston, all 4 major sports teams will go in with the same goal this year. Mm-hmm. That's just the reality of playing and being a professional sports team in Boston. But at the end of the day, it's about then changing your lens to how do we get better today to give ourselves a best chance to be standing at the end.
If you didn't like Uncle Drew, could you have even said it?
That's a great question. I probably wouldn't have said it, but I told Kyrie I really liked it. And, the other part was I didn't just enjoy Kyrie. It was fun because a lot of those other guys were my era, right? Mm-hmm. Watching, I was a little bit younger than Chris Webber, but watched a lot of his games with the Fab Five. And then as his career, Reggie Miller was the Indianapolis guy. So for me, it was really fun to watch Lisa Leslie and Nate and all of those actors and actresses do their thing on the big screen and do it so seamlessly. I was trying to think I would be a dud if I ended up on the big screen someday. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that somebody can carry the torch.
Could
for
you
the
see
rest
yourself
of us in the
being
game.
An extra in a movie? Like if no, they were like, we want like Eddie 2 or Eddie 3.
I would have no chance at even being an extra. I don't even think I could stand there and be a good fill in for a movie.
Boring. Real quick. I want to, at USA Basketball Camp, you see all these guys there. You had some of your guys there. Kyrie was there. Is that an aspiration of yours someday to be part of a USA Basketball staff? Is that on the bucket list, so to speak?
I hate to say that it's an aspiration, because I think that would be an aspiration of any coach, right? And I don't want to, they have the pick of the litter, because nobody's going to say no to USA Basketball. Mm-hmm. It's something that everybody wants to be a part of. I've already been fortunate enough to be on a USA Basketball staff. Matt Painter coached the team in 2011, and I was his assistant with Konzo Martin, and it was an unbelievable experience. But, it's one of those things where, to be candid, if I were on the USA committee, I'd pick a bunch of other people first. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, regardless, I'll pay attention, I'll root. It was cool that Jay Larinaga got to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. Practice camp earlier this month with Coach Pop, and I think that the amount that he took away from Coach Pop, in fact, I just got an email that was 2 pages long of all the different things that he took away. And but that's a special part of, again, going back to getting a chance to be around the best and learning and growing and trying to get better yourself.
Well, Brad, I appreciate it. Nice digs, by the way. You've got the big office here. See, you took the corner office.
These offices and this facility are absolutely no joke. I was talking with Scal the other day. We were doing a thing for NBC Sports Boston.
I saw that, driving around
town. We were driving around town, and he said, the expectations to win a championship when you have a facility like this. And in all seriousness, I don't think that if we won a championship or a number of championships that we would deserve a building like this. This place is absolutely incredible. They skip no steps on this, for sure.
You got to ask some of the old staffers. I remember back in my old ball boy days of being at Brandeis, and that was That was low, low level. That made Waltham look like a pretty sweet, sweet setup.
It's amazing how, and I saw this in college, right? You saw all of the facilities just get to the point where they were just ridiculous. And now you're seeing it in the pros. And I mean, I'm biased, but this is the best one I've ever been in.
Well, Brad, always appreciate your time. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
That's it for this week's episode. My thanks to Brad Stevens for joining the show. As always, you can download archived episodes on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, really anywhere you can download podcasts. While you're there, post a comment, leave a rating. You know I appreciate it. And I'll see you next week.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.